You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. I'm Travis Brown of MyAggieNation.com over there. And another nice little flannel jacket. You're just all about these hooded flannel jackets now.
I didn't actually buy this one. This was a present from Santa Claus this past Christmas.
A nice flannel jacket. That voice is Zach Taylor, WTAW.
Hey, man, it's warm. That's really all I care about at this point. So.
It is really cold outside. That's why we are inside. We're here in this Bryan Broadcasting Studios. But earlier this week, while it was still equally as cold, we were over there. There is Reed Arena.
Over there.
Talking to A&M basketball point guard Dwayne Wilson. Now, we have to admit that we talked to him on Monday. Since then, yesterday, the Aggies notched their first SEC win over Ole Miss. They started the season 0-5. They are now 1-5. So some of the stuff we talked about was about that skid. They had not yet beaten an SEC team yet. But that's okay. He gave us some great information about his injury and what this team has kind of gone through so far in the conference slate. So let's send it over to ourselves at Reed Arena on Monday.
Dwayne, how's it going, man?
It's going good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. So first off, before we get into a whole lot about the season and stuff, get to know you a little bit. You're a guy who came in here this year. What kind of went into your decision to pick A&M and to get down here into College Station?
I knew it would be a great situation for me. You know, I knew they had J.J. Caldwell and T.J. Starks coming as point guard, and coach has told me they needed some leadership and an older guy to bring them some experience. And, you know, playing with guys like Robert Williams, D.J. Hogue, and Tyler, and Admon, too, you know, those are great guys. And I seen them play their freshman year in the Sweet 16. And I knew we had a chance of doing something great and doing something special here. And, you know, so that was one of my main reasons of going here. And then Coach Chu, you know, as everybody pretty much been saying, he recruited at Marquette. And, you know, he coached me for a year. So, I mean, it was a no-brainer that I really wanted to come here. And Coach Kennedy and Coach Amir and Coach Yurik did a good job of, you know, just showing me the ways of how they would use me in their offense and what they needed from me. And I feel like it was the right fit.
Talked about bringing you in a leadership role, and you made mention of the point guards that were already here. Did you expect to get this much playing time when you came down?
Yeah, I pretty much knew. You know, me and Coach Kennedy, we knew that it would be split with me and JJ, you know, and JJ's been doing a great job. But, I mean, at the beginning, you know, we needed – it was some games where they needed me just to run the team, and then there would be games where they needed me to score for, like, the Penn State game. And, you know, I don't believe a lot of people really didn't think I would play as much, or they didn't know much about me, because my last year at Marquette, I didn't play as much. So everybody was just going by what they seen. They didn't look at my freshman and sophomore year at Marquette where I had big years. But, you know, I knew what I was capable of, and Coach Kennedy and the whole coaching staff and even my teammates, they knew what I was capable of. So it was just a bit of more just showing people what I can do, kind of. So
now that people have seen what you can do, I think a lot of people saw what this team could do to start out the season. Things not probably going as well as y'all would have liked through SEC play. What's the difference between the team now and the team that started off the season?
You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, we started off, we started off with full strength. You know, we had everybody. You know, we had Miss Rob one game, and you know, then J.J. Caldwell couldn't play to the USC game. So, I mean, when we went through, you know, Alabama, you know, when Admon went down, that kind of hurts, you know. Admon is just like he's the leader of our defense. You know, when you lose your best defender, I mean, it's kind of tough, you know what I'm saying, to get stops. And then, unfortunately, D.J. and J.J. Caldwell and T.J. got suspended. You know, Rob had sickness and got hurt. So, you know, we just had to keep fighting through what we've been going through. You know, everyone goes through adversity, you know, and I feel like that's what we've been going through. And I feel like we've been doing a great job of handling it. You know, guys, it's not giving up. You know, we're still fighting. We know we're right there. You know, we just got to keep pushing and just not get through this wall. And, you know, I feel like we eventually will. And I hope tomorrow will be that day when we push through and come together and start get this win streak back on the road.
For you guys at this point, do you still talk about things like, well, if we win this many, we can still make the NCAA tournament? Do y'all talk about that, or is it more a game-by-game type deal where you're focused on solely on the next opponent?
We take it one game at a time, you know. It's not – nobody's really worried too much on this team, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of teams done lost four games, five games in a row. You know, it's just a tough time right now. We just had to keep fighting. You know, that doesn't determine our season. There's a lot of games left to be played, and there's a lot of games left that we can win also. You know, we just look at one game at a time. Don't try to look too far. Don't try to look past anybody, you know. And that's one thing we've been doing a great job of, and the coaching staff, and making sure we stay locked in on this opponent that we're playing against.
Coach has mentioned it a couple times. You mentioned it today, just talking about getting that chemistry back with guys who have been out, suspended, everything like that. What really goes into rebuilding chemistry once a season's already started? Is that how much of that is done in practice? How much of that just has to be done in game time situations? And what's that split like?
I believe it's in practice and game time. You know, well, with Admon's situation, I mean, we had to get chemistry back with Admon. I mean, Admon was hurt. He missed probably, I mean, I don't know, it was six games maybe, and then I missed three games, and it's just different when you have a whole, like me and J.J. Carver are two different type of point guards, you know, we're two different type of players, so like when you make a change, you know, everybody got to get adjusted playing with J.J., and then J.J. has to get used to playing with a different group of guys, which our rotation gets messed up, and you know, and I feel like we're starting to get that back, you know, especially with Admar back, that's just our key to our defense, you know, that was our main reason of winning those such big games at the beginning of the season, because we're a defensive team, and I feel like we're getting back to that. You know, when you got more depth and you got your older guys and more experience and your guys are 100%, you know, it's much easier to win and come together.
And you're speaking about your injury, how do you feel now?
I feel great. You know, it's like a day at a time process. You know, some days I might be more sore than other days, but at the end of the day, Dulles and Coach Darby do a good job of, you know what I'm saying, treating me and make sure I'm taking care of my knee. And Blair, too, she makes sure I'm eating the right things. And it's just been an everyday thing. I know the Tennessee game, it was a tough game to come back to, but I feel like I did a pretty decent job, and I'm getting my flow back and getting my legs back under me. So I feel like Tuesday would be a great game because, you know, I feel like I got my legs back under me. So this is Tennessee is like my first time really getting up and down a lot and moving and playing against contact.
And obviously you're back now, but for you, how frustrating was it missing those three games you mentioned and seeing your guys struggle out there and not much you can do about it?
It was very frustrating, you know, but one thing coach just kept telling my ear, man, it's a long season, you know, don't try to rush it back, you know, those guys will hold it down for you, and my teammates did a good job of keeping my head up, you know, because at a point in time we didn't know when I would be back or if I'd play again this year, so, you know, everybody was with me and stayed positive, so I feel like that's the main reason why I got the good results back about my knee, so, you know, we just got to stay positive and keep fighting. You know, that's what we do. We're fighters.
You kind of answered my question a little bit there, but was there some concern when you first got hurt that it could have been a lot worse than it actually ended up being?
Yeah, when I first hurt my knee in the Alabama game, we went back to the doctor. You know, it was a possibility that it could be worse than it was. And then we went the next day, you know, when I woke up, they told me, like, see how it feels. And it didn't feel well. Like, you know, I even called my parents and told them, like, I thought it was over. I thought I was done playing at Texas A&M. But luckily, you know, I came in and seen Doc and got an MRI. And the results weren't bad at all, you know. It was just a small injury that can be taken care of with just time. And, you know, luckily we have a great staff full of doctors, you know, and we did some good treatment and got my knee back going. And ever since then, it's been great.
What was that feeling like when you kind of went from this could be done to, you know, you kind of have a second life here?
You know, man, it was humbling, you know, and I just look at it as a blessing, you know. And one guy that I can thank was Peter Warden. You know, he's not a coach or anything, but he's always around us. And he was one guy that was with me, like, through it all. I remember, like, the night we came back from Alabama, and I was down because I really thought I wasn't going to be able to play again. And he just told me, keep thinking positive thoughts. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, we know you're gonna bounce back and be able to play. And, like, he was one person that was in my ear. And, you know, and I really thank him for that, because next thing you know, we got the results back, and he was right. And I was right back playing, and my teammates fully supported me, and they welcomed me back once I got back healthy.
Does that give you, like, a little added fire for this second half of the season, kind of knowing that you have kind of like a little bit of second life?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, it adds a little more pep to my step and, you know, a little bit more chip on my shoulder. You know, you just know, like, this was meant to be, you know. You know, a lot of people say everything happened for a reason. I think that everything that we're going through is happening for a reason, you know, and I feel like something's good going to come soon. You know, that's one thing Coach Kennedy always say, like, we're going through adversity right now, but something's good is going to happen, and we're just patiently waiting on that.
Now, for you personally, of course, coming to Texas, a little bit different than it is in Wisconsin, namely the winter. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about, was it supposed to be Snowpocalypse 2018 already? It's supposed to happen this week. Everybody's freaking out, little ice, little snow. For you, that's no big deal, right? You're
nah,
used to that stuff.
I'm used to it. Even the time, it was maybe about a month ago, and it was snowing outside. Remember, I woke up, I was taking a nap, and I just hear people outside screaming. And I'm like, well, everybody's screaming. I look out the window, and I just see snow. In an apartment complex, we stand, you just see everybody outside having snowball fights, having the time of their life. And I'm just sitting there like, I mean, I've been seeing this for 23 years. So this is nothing new to me, you know, especially the cold. You know, I got me a jacket down here. The only thing that was tough for me was just the heat in the summer, like walking back and forth in 90-100 degree weather. Milwaukee, how does it may get, it's maybe like 85, but it's not like that every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was nothing new to me.
Yeah. Well, and then finally, to look ahead with not only you, but the whole team, kind of what's the mantra, what's the thought process for the team now? What is coaches telling you that y'all are focusing in on here to finish out SEC play?
They're really telling us to stay strong, you know, and keep fighting. You know, that, and I feel like one thing the last game, I feel like our effort wasn't really there. You know, that's one thing as a team. Like, we should never have games that we should have no effort, you know. In all honesty, only team that really can beat us is ourselves. And the games we lost, I feel like we beat ourselves, you know. We got to do everything that the coaches tell us what to do on the scouting reports and just follow what they tell us. You know, I feel like sometimes, you know, our younger guys, you know, they're learning. They were put in a tough situation. I feel like they did a great job of it. And, you know, and I feel like it's just something we have to continue to work at. And, you know, a lot of guys – most people probably thinking, like, these guys probably thinking they're not going to be in the tournament. Like, we still got Final Four thoughts. Like, we know what we can do. We know what we're capable of. We showed everybody what we're capable of. We just had to get back to it. You know, now with having everybody back, you know, getting back in the flow and things and building that chemistry back up, you know, we'll be once the same team that we were at the beginning of the season, but even better.
Well, Dwayne, we're glad you're back, and good luck the rest of this year, all right?
Thank you.
Dwayne Wilson, senior point guard for Texas A&M. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll keep this bad boy rolling. Again, you're listening to the My Aggie Nation podcast.
Little visit with Dwayne Wilson earlier this week. Of course, that was before Fighting Texas Aggie basketball. Got the big win last night, 71-69 over Ole Miss. I was not there. I was watching it from the old television. I have to get up early these days, so I don't get to make as many live sporting events, late sporting events that start at 8 o'clock as perhaps one Travis Brown does. But from your perspective, I know that you had tweeted out, what was the official attendance, 10,000 something?
Yeah.
It seemed like the student section was pretty into it, at least.
Yeah, it was a pretty good crowd. It was the best crowd I'd seen in there all year. So I know,
really?
I know people we're laughing at it. It wasn't a bad crowd.
I don't think it was 10,000, but I will agree with that it wasn't a bad crowd. At least it didn't seem like it was from the TV. Also, Jimbo Fisher apparently survived Snowpocalypse.
Yes, a couple of the assistants, I believe, were there as well.
Oh.
I just checking things out. So,
there you go.
A lot of football hype happening as well during the basketball game.
Well, speaking of hype, that's kind of what we got on this train with this Aggie basketball team at the beginning of the season because, boy, It looked like they were on a real, well, didn't look like they were on a big time roll, and obviously a 5-game losing skid. You can say a little bit of turn of bad luck, like in that LSU game, but I think a lot of times the Aggies just did not play up to their potential. Whether you want to say that was injuries, whether you want to say that was suspensions, but I think it was just guys on the court weren't getting it done. Either way, they still had 5 guys out there. But they did pick up the win last night. Do you think that this is the start of good things to come? Now they got over this hump. Can they kind of turn this into a streak of winning games?
Well, you would hope so, but they still needed a bounce. They still needed an improbable bounce to win that game. Ole Miss fired up a shot at the last second. I don't know if you saw the the backboard cam view.
Oh, but yeah.
That thing was almost more than halfway down.
It was in.
And came back out. And so while it was a win, and a win can do wonders for a team that has been on a skid, they still have a lot of things to work on.
It was an ugly win, no doubt. I think the thing that stands out to me the most, the statistic that stands out the most, is 8 of 16 from the line.
Yes,
at home.
Yes,
when you're shooting 50% from the charity stripe at home, that's not going to win you a lot of ball games. And quite frankly, it almost lost A&M a ball game last night. Now,
and it's lost them ball games earlier this year.
No, it
too,
has, without a doubt. LSU, it lost them that ball game.
And Arizona lost them the ball game at the end of the game as well.
And so right now at this point, I don't think you're suddenly going to believe that A&M is going to be a great free throw shooting team. It's too late for that. They are what they are, which is a very strong team on down low inside. The other parts of it are kind of hit and miss. Shooting from deep, they looked really good shooting the ball in that first half. Shot over, 62% in the first half?
It was
over 60%, which I think they were speaking about it on TV, that was actually the best that A&M had shot from the floor, best field goal percentage A&M had from the floor in the first half this year. And they looked really, really good going into the locker room at halftime. And then they came out, they were just flat. I have no idea what exactly happened there. I don't know how that got thrown in there. I mean, you got to give Ole Miss a little bit of credit in that, you know, they could just have been playing pretty good defense, but also A&M was not helping themselves at all.
Yeah, they really did a good job there in the second half of getting some good bodies on both Tyler Davis and Robert Williams and doing the double team at the bottom. I think there was a couple times they tried to kind of force it in there a little too much to those guys, and it didn't necessarily work out for them. But then they just kind of went cold there for a stretch. But I think that there was two important pieces that were missing in this team's play over the last five games. Some of it has to do with actual absence on the court, and some of it has to do with just on the court issues. But Robert Williams was dunking the ball,
mm-hmm.
and DJ Hogue hit a few key three-pointers. And that is what this team has to have to be at its most basic to be successful.
Yeah, Hogue 2 of 6 from beyond the arc, which is nowhere near the clip that he was getting earlier on in the season. But by the way, those were the only 6 shots that he took last night were from beyond the arc. So that's something to point out. You know, 6 points overall, but if you're A&M, you've got to hope that he can return back to what he was doing before his suspension. But you mentioned Tyler Davis and Robert Williams. Robert finally had a big game. It had been a while since he'd been able to break out, but 18 points to go along with 9 rebounds. Tyler Davis a double-double with 20 points and 12 rebounds. So the big guys were getting it done. Something else I think we have to point out is Dwayne Wilson looked to be back to his old self last night in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
6 assists that he was able to dish out, also contributed with 7 points. I think that has been a big missing piece. I mean, you can go down the line, say Admon Gilder, yeah, you bet. Robert Williams, a couple games that he missed, of course. Dwayne Wilson, and having that point guard, that distributor, I think really has been something that A&M's been lacking at in the games that Dwayne's missed, and he proved how valuable he was last night.
I think everyone kind of seemed to look like they were back to full strength. There was a couple times that Admon was kind of diving for balls and things like that, and going after stuff and going full speed that you might not have seen over the past couple of games. And that was also good to see, especially on the defensive side of the ball with everything that he can do for the team defensively.
And you look at the turnovers too. Yeah, A&M still committed more turnovers than Ole Miss, 10-9, but it was nowhere near what the crazy stuff was up in Tennessee. They were able to put that at least behind them against Ole Miss and took much better care of the ball than they did in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. I think that this team has to go into practice and go into preparation for their next games feeling like that luck might be on their side a little bit more.
I would think so. After that ball popped out, I think it would be easy to, it would be very easy to get down on yourself, mired in a 5-game losing skid, especially it seems like every time you turn around, there's a new injury. LSU's making, desperation threes that go in. And I think last night would have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, that being said, is it too little too late to think that A&M can turn this thing around?
No, I think it's too little too late to think, of course, that they couldn't have any shot at like an SEC title. Unless it's in the tournament somehow. I don't think it's too little too late for an NCAA tournament bid. Now, what they're going to have to win almost out. They probably have room for one, maybe two more losses, and that is probably about it.
You look across the board at the SEC, I would be willing to venture out and say that the SEC is stronger this year. At least it's more parity in the league this year than there has been. I wouldn't say that there's been one team who has been very, very good. Kentucky, I don't think, is up to par where they have been in past years. Auburn right now at 16-1 overall, a perfect 4-0 in conference play. Auburn is the creme de la creme right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Pearl getting it done with the Tigers. And so they're obviously a team to watch. But you look up and down, South Carolina got the win over Kentucky last night. I think South Carolina very easily could go back to the NCAA tournament. You look at their pedigree, Frank Martin, everything that he's done. Mississippi State, I think, and Arkansas, too. Arkansas has been in a little bit of a slump, but Arkansas is a team that a lot of folks were taking notice of early on in conference play. So up and down, there's a lot of teams that are vying for a postseason berth, an NCAA tournament berth in the SEC, and those are teams that A&M is going to have to get past unless the committee ends up bringing in, eight SEC teams, which I don't see that happening.
Right. But you talk about South Carolina, you talk about Kentucky, both teams that you think really could be NCAA tournament teams, and those are teams both. South Carolina is sitting at literally, for the most part, in the exact same spot as far as overall record as A&M. They're both 12-6. Kentucky has four losses. A&M, you talk about South Carolina having a win over Kentucky. A&M has a win over West Virginia. A&M has some good resume builders at the beginning of the season. If they can right the ship and pull off a win streak at the end, it actually, while it seems pretty traumatic right now, they still could put together a decent resume to be a mid-ranked NCAA tournament team.
Well, from here on out, you have to look at the schedule too. How well does that bode for A&M? You've got Missouri this Saturday. The Tigers are coming to town. Then you're going to at LSU. If A&M is going to make a run, as you talked about, they almost have to win out. But they definitely have to win those two games. You can't lose to Missouri at home, and you can't lose again to LSU. Because quite frankly, LSU's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to get those two wins. Then you go into Kansas. If you can somehow, some way, pull off the upset of the 10th-ranked Jayhawks in Lawrence, which they're probably going to be ranked higher than that, I think, whenever the new AP polls come out next week. If you can somehow pull off an upset in Lawrence, then, yeah, you're talking big time. That's going to add to your resume. Can A&M do that? Are they the same team they were at the beginning of the year? But overall, it's not going to be an easy, easy road. They're going to play Alabama again. They play at Arkansas, which Arkansas is very good in Fayetteville. They're going to play Kentucky again, and they're hosting South Carolina. So it's going to be a pretty tough trip. By the way, they're also going to Auburn in early February.
For what it's worth, and this is games through yesterday, so this is updated. Everything seems so doom and gloom for A&M right now. Their RPI is 34. It's pretty good. Considering all the that an RPI of 34 gets you in the tournament.
If they're final conference records is any resemblance of 1-5, if it's some kind of equivalent to that, times two, that's not going to happen. I can't see the committee letting a team in that has under a 500 record in SEC play.
Well, sure. But I mean, yes, if they continue to lose, the RPI is going to fall. But the whole point of saying that is that what they were able to do through non-conference play, I don't want to say allowed for this kind of thing, but it kind of allowed for a little bit of a slump like this and to be able to maintain postseason hopes.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
I agree. Either way, just win, baby.
I think it seems like if Ole Miss is any indication, it's hard to take a one game survey, but things have turned around. I mean, this team's gonna be good. DJ Hone's gonna be hitting from outside. He only had two, but one of them was with just 2 minutes left, and A&M was putting together that 11-2 run towards the end of the game there to kind of close it out a little bit. That three pointer was huge. You need that. And then there was two Robert Williams alley-oop dunks in that span as well. I mean, that's just what this team has to be good at to win ball games, and they did it down the stretch. And then, like you said, the thing that they have to improve on is their free throw shooting.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know how you're going to suddenly find that. You can go in the gym and you can shoot as many free throws as you want, and we've heard that from Billy Kennedy and company. I still don't know if that's going to happen. Now, another question too, and I know that we were going to keep this rather brief. We've already gone on about 15 minutes. If A&M misses the NCAA tournament this year, if the Aggies cannot right this ship, is this the last season for Billy Kennedy?
I would be interested to see either way, whether they were successful this season or if they're not successful this season, what his future would hold, just kind of with his overall health and everything like mm-hmm. that.
Where he is.
To me, it seems like he has he seems a little tired, but a season like this might do that to you. So,
I have no doubt about that.
I would just be curious to see what the future holds for him, and that has really not even a whole lot to do with the way the basketball team finishes.
Yeah, well, Scott Woodward is making changes. He's made a couple of them already. Obviously, Jimbo Fisher was the big one, but also with volleyball. Mm-hmm. And Lori Corbelli leaving after 25-plus years at Texas A&M. So does A&M have the money is a big question, I would think. I mean, yeah, you talk about money's no object for Texas A&M, but you just sink a whole lot of guaranteed cash in your next head football coach. What kind of basketball coach can you bring? But again, Billy Kennedy, it seems like Billy Kennedy's been the hot seat for a while, mm-hmm. maybe since his second or third season, because – and we talked about this the other day, you know, A&M folks can say, well, it's not necessarily a basketball school. They have too lofty of expectations. But they went to the tournament 6 years in a row before Billy Kennedy got here. And was he left in the best position? No. But he's also been here for several years. He's been here for about six. So, well, longer than that, I guess, because he got here in 2011 and 2012. So we'll keep an eye on that, obviously. But the biggest thing is A&M asked to win, and quite frankly, if they played like they did last night, I don't think they're going to beat some of these better teams. I don't think Ole Miss is that good, and they're going to have to play a lot better than that. They're going to have to shoot a lot better than 50% from the line if they're going to beat some of these really good teams in the SEC.
Definitely. Well, that is all the time we have today for a little bit of basketball chatter. There will be a game against Missouri this weekend, and the basketball team moves on after that to face LSU again, who nabbed one from them here in College Station. We'll keep an eye on those, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of people do plenty of stuff and maybe another player or something to talk to next week to break down what's going on over there at Reed Arena. So, for Zach Taylor and Travis Brown, this is the My Aggie Nation Podcast. We'll see you next week.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way it must have it seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't easy, girl, we know that's true. And if we wanna keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. Just wanna make sure, my baby, make sure you're sticking with me. I wanna make sure that we'll be all that we can be, all that we can be, all that we can be.